The following is brought to you in part by MFC Studios. The views and opinions of the show's hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of the owners, management, or staff of WGBB. And now, it came from the radio.
Came from the radio. This is your host, Mauro Arturo, speaking. With me in the studio, I have Hassan Godwin, sitting there in silence. We can hear him breathe. That was him breathing, folks. And we have Charlie Saladino sitting next to us.
Hello, fun seekers.
And once again, the hologram that is Herman Snurcia is not here.
Whatever. He's not on the show anymore.
He said he was calling in today.
Yeah, we'll see.
Then he says he's showing up every week also.
There you go.
He also told me he was a Prince of England. So, I mean, he doesn't tell the truth sometimes. That's my point.
I think everything he says is not intended to be a factual statement.
Just you, he was telling us.
Well, yeah, maybe he lies to me. But
yeah, John.
I've still been lied to.
Never lies.
That's the only point.
Never lies to me.
Well, well done. Like I said, you're special. Yeah. I'm not special.
So special.
Everything he tells me is to never.
Why is it always raining every night we have for the radio show?
Well, yeah.
Why?
I noticed that. It's just one of those things. We've had a blackout during a radio show.
This is terrible.
The blackout was during the radio show. This rain is driving
the southern state in this weather. Is probably the most miserable thing in the world.
Wow.
I don't want to do it anymore.
That's from the desk of Hassan Godwin, driving
it
in
is.
New York.
It just,
the
it, there are just
the worst
so many occasions.
In the world.
There are so many occasions where you just have to save your own life. It's not like, oh, I'll avoid an accident. No, I just saved my life because the other guy in the other car wasn't interested in saving his life or my life or the lives of anybody
else around.
Yeah, in our sphere of influence on the road.
I think he passed me on the road.
And I've been in other situations where I've had to avoid trouble, but I didn't actually have to consider that saving my life.
Yeah.
So it's the highway.
Hey, Ma.
Darned highway.
Darn it.
Darn.
Hey,
so
Ma.
Anybody?
Yeah. Okay.
Any trouble listening to us on the air?
They would have stopped already because they just heard me whining for about 10 minutes.
You can go online to www.am1240wgbb.com. Listen to us on a live audio streaming.
Yay,
also on the
audio
website, we have the high definition webcam, so you can actually see us in high definition right now.
Anytime they see me, I'm in low definition, just so you know.
Mark, even in real life.
Yes, I'm in low definition at all times.
Mark has the FM DJ voice on, and it's 5 minutes past the big hour of nine. Hi, atop the Rainbow Room here at West Babylon.
The Rainbow Room?
I don't know.
The Rainbow Room.
And the phone number here is area code 631-888-8811. Now,
everybody got that?
Well, this week, the phone number is extremely important because once again, thanks to the really cool people at New York Comic Con and Lance Festerman, they have decided to give us some more passes.
And Lance, wait, he's not one of the cool?
Well, no, it's the cool people at them and especially Lance.
All right, because it kind of comes out like the really cool people at the Comic Cons.
And Bob.
Yeah.
And that guy. Bob, the stinky guy who hangs out at the corner. No, special thanks to Lance Festerman for giving us two free three-day passes for the Comic-Con, New York Comic-Con, which is coming up on the 13th, 14th, and 15th, which we will be there. Hey, we won't have a table. We'll
actually, the 13th, isn't that a press?
The press is in the morning, and then I think from 4 to 7, you can go in for the special screening for the regular
passes.
No,
4 to 7.
No.
I'll have to check that out, folks. Okay.
Yes, go to www.newyorkcomiccon.com for more information. But you still get to go Friday, Saturday, and Sunday for free. So hooray for you guys.
Okay.
And we like to call it the world's easiest contest. And all you have to do is answer this question. Do you know how to use a phone? Because all you have to do is call that very same number I just said no more than 2 minutes ago.
It's still a trick question.
Really?
It's a trick question.
Whoa, hey.
It's a trick question because what if a mother hands a phone to her child, and you ask that question, and he says no?
I don't know how to use the
phone. Now you have to deny him the tickets.
Deny some poor little kid.
Yeah.
Some basses.
It's a trick question.
Do you remember that kid that called?
Yes.
That was the most awesomest call
he was
ever
upset.
Had.
He had a grievance. Oh. That's why we don't acknowledge that.
Okay.
So, yes, we're giving away tickets right now. So, first caller. Did we have the first caller already? Man, they're quick. He already hanged up or he's on the phone? Oh, yes. We're going to be giving away tickets, Trevor. Preacher man. So, poor guy who just called. Call right back.
Hey.
I guess it was harder than that.
Oh, my God.
Oh, poor guy.
Top-notch organization.
Whoever that guy was.
Hey, are you
or whoever else is listening, can beat that guy now and be the second caller.
That's not cool. That'll just ensure that guy doesn't call.
I'm not acknowledging that the phone's ringing again.
Ring, ring. wrong numbers are welcome.
Yes.
Anyway.
Why don't we just promote how desperate we are to have a phone call?
No. The problem is, as I mentioned many times, and I've talked to many people who listen to the show, they don't listen to us live.
All three of them.
Yes, Mrs. Henderson and her two sons. Yeah,
and the Fabersham twins.
Mr. Fabersham.
Yeah.
So a lot of people, they listen to us in the future, I guess, of us in the past. Yeah, so... They don't know how to.
Yeah, you complicated that on purpose. Go ahead.
Yeah, so finish. I just misstressed the fact that we're live now and you can call in right now and get passes. That's what I was trying to do. We are giving away two tickets this week. So one person wins two tickets, and then next week we'll have two more.
This is all stuff that should have happened just before the show went on the air.
And it did.
They walked on the air? Yeah. So we got the call of the winner already. Do I get the signal to go? Are they on the air? You're on the air. Hello, caller.
Hello.
Hello, caller. How are you? What's your name?
My name is Seda Gunner.
Hello, Seda.
How are you?
Congratulations. You won.
Oh, she sounds familiar.
You just won the passes to the Comic-Con.
Oh, yeah. Jason Momoa, here I come.
See? She knows all about Jason
Momoa.
There
you go.
So, have you ever been to a convention before?
No, I have never.
Oh, so this is going to be your first time, and you get to go in for
free.
You're
going to love it.
We should give her a complimentary bulletproof vest.
Yes,
riot
please.
Gear.
No, you're going to love
it. Gas mask.
So, are you going to dress up as anybody in particular for the convention, or are you just going to go as is?
I don't know. We'll see.
Mm. Oh, all right, then.
I see you dress up like a grizzly bear.
Maybe.
A Wookiee.
Grizzly bear.
Oh, okay.
With working claws.
Yeah.
Just swat your way through the crowd.
And right, and go on a Saturday when you can't fit a germ through.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Just swat your way through.
Swat, yeah.
So congratulations. Our man Trevor's going to take your information. We need a name and email address, Trevor, okay? So we can give him the information. Thank you very much for
Thank
calling.
Thank you,
Seda. And nicely done for winning.
Thank you very much, guys. Have a good night, and hopefully see you soon.
Yeah, very soon.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Bye, guys.
Take care.
So that's two for two. Two up, two down.
Wow.
And so the other guy was a guy, and this was a girl.
All the chicks are winning. Yeah, well. That's why you discuss things with your engineer before you go on air. why would you? Oh, yeah, do you have news, Mark?
I do have news.
Any science fiction news?
What about that? I do have news.
How about that?
Speaking of the New York Comic Con.
Mr. Segway.
You just, all right.
Every time, let me give you a piece of advice. Every time you look at me to see if I do it, I'm not going to do it.
All right, fine. Okay, fine.
It's like when Joe Carson looked at Ed McMahon when he was the great Connor. So he would repeat the thing.
Exactly.
There you go.
Every time you voluntarily go dead air just to wait for me to sing something, I'm not going to do it.
You'll promote dead air?
Yes.
You're all about the dead air.
I'm all about dead air.
All right.
Yes, I'm the walking dead air.
This is a science fiction show, and here's the science fiction news.
Well, I wanted to mention that at the New York Comic Con, there's going to be the Indie After Party, which is going to be at Blackguard's Pub and Restaurant.
It's an independent after party that's going to take place way someplace else that nobody even knows about, and no one from the show is going to go to.
Well, I'm going to go. I don't know about you guys,
it's Indie. That's the whole, yes. Never mind.
Yeah. So it's going to be from
Indiana Jones
Saturday night, October 15th, which is the main day at the convention, from 8 p.m. to 3 3 a.m. It's cash bar, complimentary finger food for the first half hour, so get there early. Passes will be distributed at the con, so anybody who's a sponsor will be giving away passes to go into the after party. Or if you can't find your way to get yourself a pass, you can slap down $5 for the cause, and they'll let you in for five measly dollars. So, you know, if you guys want to come in, we're more welcome to have you at the indie party. It's once again at Blackguard's Pub and Restaurant. That's on 38th Street in New York.
So, how sponsorific of you.
And that would be close to 8th Avenue, wouldn't it?
Yes. As a matter of fact, it says it's right on 8th Avenue.
Because 38th Street's a big
street. It's a big street. Just keep on going up and down.
Yeah, 38th Street.
Until you see a person dressed up as a grizzly bear, and that's the one you're going to go
with. Yeah. Slashing people. Don't go too close.
And also at the con...
More con news.
Yes, more con news. Our good buddy Dave Ryan is going to be there. And Dave Ryan, just by chance, happens to be the guy making one of the greatest independent comics of all time.
What else are we talking about?
The Independents, which will feature such characters as Ant, the Max, Bones, Savage Dragon, Gumby and Pokey.
Who else?
And my character is going to be in it.
What a surprise.
What is your character?
Her name is Sunburst, and she will be fighting alongside with Gumby and Pokey.
Does she harness the powers of the sun?
Maybe.
Nah. Wonder how I knew that. How did I guess that?
With a burst of
energy? She's not harnessing the power of the candy.
No, exactly. Starburst. Hey.
That's my character.
Got stolen by Charlie.
So yeah,
I was gonna do that.
So you
I'll do Moonburst.
Moonburst. So you guys can pick up a copy at the convention floor. Hopefully, I'm gonna try and get Dave Ryan to be a guest on the show. So that's gonna be making more awesome.
He's doing your character, and you may or may not be able to get him to be a guest on your show.
He's busy doing my character.
I would take my character back. You do him a show, or the character's going the way of the dodo.
Well, he's done the show many times before, so.
But we need him on the show again.
Yes, we do.
He should. We have
an empty holographic chair.
Yes, we have an empty chair. We have a host section that needs to be filled.
That's what it's called.
I am.
That's what it's called.
I'm officially putting one ads out for a new host.
Because our
yes.
All right.
I'm taking resumes.
So moving along, in movie news.
Oh.
For the second week in a row, Lion King tops the box office yet again, bringing in another $22.1 million, bringing the total up to $61.7 million, which isn't so bad for a 17-year-old movie that already made $800 million.
Kids have nothing to watch.
Well, there was that dolphin movie that came out.
Kids ain't got nothing to watch.
Nobody wants to see a dolphin.
Kids got the big fat nothing, so they go see the Lion King.
It's got Morgan Freeman and dolphins. People love that stuff.
Kids don't know what a Morgan Freeman is.
You want to see Morgan Freeman? No, I want to see something. I want to see.
He's not on the electric company anymore. Nobody knows who he is.
So, the film has done so well.
How well did it do?
That Disney plans to leave it in theaters longer than the 2-week run that they initially said they were going to do.
You know why? Because they're jealous of The Help, which is still in the top 10.
Yeah, it is.
And they want to beat that.
Yeah.
I still haven't seen it.
Oh my God.
I gotta check it
Everybody
out.
In that movie should win an Academy Award.
Really?
And that should win for Best Picture.
It's proof positive I won't see it. People keep telling me it's good.
So it can't possibly go.
No, it probably is good. But that's why I have to do everything I can to miss out on the experience.
All right.
That's the job. What I have to do.
Yeah.
Disney also plans that.
What else is Disney planning?
That the since they're going to keep it longer within the 2-week time frame that they originally promised.
Monday.
They have decided that they're going to continue and keep the release date of the Blu-ray, which makes it being available on Blu-ray and in the theaters at the same time.
More money.
What?
Now.
Executives say.
Put the money in the bag.
Consumers, I think, will be happy to consume it in multiple ways.
Yes.
For this kind of franchise
consume.
That has lasted 17 years.
Consume money. Pay us mass quantities of money.
So, yes.
Don't you want to pay us lots of money for mediocre entertainment?
So it's going to be one of the few times that there's going to be a movie available for home consumption as well on Blu-ray.
Don't you see the magic of it? You can go to the theater and pay us money. And then you can go to Best Buy and pay us money for the same thing.
The exact same thing.
Money.
It'd be awesome.
Then you should go to one of the Disney stores to buy paraphernalia to pay us yet again more money.
Is that your best Disney voice?
That is the best God of Disney. The money god.
The money god.
Money god. That's, more.
That's way too every.
More.
All right.
Except for when it's coming to you, then it's less.
There's a group of people out there going more. Yes. Any other group? Less.
Or well, none. None.
That's the group they have to get the more. More.
Yeah, exactly. All righty. Moving along for more movie news.
That's not really a segue.
No. while promoting his movie Real Steel, Hugh Jackman found himself as the guest on WWE Raw last Monday night, where he assumed the role of a temporary manager for wrestler Zack Ryder. During the match, Hugh Jackman noticed that the ref was distracted while his wrestler was being beaten up on. So he felt that it was wrong, and he jumps into the ring, and he hits his...
He pops his claws, and he kills a guy.
He hits the rival, which is Dolph Ziggler. Soon after that, Ziggler posted a few tweets saying, one of which, that he was actually hit in the face by Hugh Jackman and has a hairline mandibular fracture.
Because so, Hugh Jackman's got an adamantium skeleton. And that's why it hurt the guy really bad.
So Hugh Jackman went, fataka, and he went, pow, and, that was, and knocked him down, and that was the end of the wrestler. So there you go.
You know what the wrestler wants now, right?
Money.
Money.
He's going to Disney.
Pay me a great amount of money.
You just got knocked out by an actor in a fake wrestling match. What are you going to do now?
I'm going to Disneyland. I got punched out by Wolverine. I want money.
Well, you know, if you're going to get punched out by somebody.
I am now in the more section.
Yes. He's in the more line.
You is now entered, he's entered the less section.
Or the none, if the lawsuit goes correct.
Well, you know,
more.
Anybody who's going to get knocked out by somebody, an actor, might as well be Hugh Jackman, right?
No. Don't get knocked out at all.
If you're
don't get knocked out.
If I want somebody to hit me, I'm going to pick somebody like Shirley Temple. I'm not going to go with somebody. Oh, if anybody should knock out, you know, if I'm going to pick,
so it could really hurt.
That's like the guy who
I want the guy who played Willow to hit me.
He hit him. Yeah.
I want Warwick Davis to punch me out.
Yeah, seriously.
Wow, I'm Peter Dinklage. I'm going to pick a fight with Peter Dinklage.
I'm not going to hit Shirley, but I'd rather get the punch from her.
Don't hit her back.
No.
Do you lose your license if you hit her back?
If you got to get hit by anybody.
If you hit her back, then you're in the less line. Less for Charlie Saladino.
All right,
you shouldn't have hit the little girl.
Speaking of movies.
Mr. Segway.
Does anyone remember the movie Weekend at Bernie's? Hands up.
Yeah. Who forgets Weekend at Bernie's?
Okay.
It's a classic.
The thing that people forget is Weekend at Bernie's 2. Yes.
Well,
it's a classic.
It seems that these two guys named Robert Young and Mark Rubinson tried to make their own remake in real life. It seems that a third person named Jeffrey Jarrett died a month ago, and these two guys found his body but never bothered telling anyone about it. A month later, they decided to go bar hopping and use the guy's debit card. But instead of taking a debit card, they took the whole body and put it in their car and drove around with the guy's dead body in the car, taking the debit card out, using it as they wish.
Unfortunately, when you give us a news report like this, there are going to be follow-up questions for details.
Yeah.
As in, how do you just find a dead guy? Yeah. How do you just come across some dead guy that you know? And you're in a position to either tell or not tell people. I mean, the taking his body instead of just reaching in his pocket and taking his wallet just means they're stupid. And that's the middle, beginning, and the end of that.
I don't think any pocket is tight enough that you couldn't get a credit card out of it.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't care how much rigor mortis the guy is going through. But then putting his body in the car, I mean, for how long was the guy dead?
He was dead for a whole month.
A month?
A month?
Yes, he was
dead
for a month.
Nobody smelled that?
And then, no, but he was dead for a month. And then they took the body after being a month dead.
So they found him dead?
They found him dead.
He had been dead for a month when they found him?
No, they found him dead. They waited a month and said, hey, let's go get this guy, put him in our car after a month later of finding him dead.
Oh, wow, this gets better. So he was dead where they found him for a month.
Wherever they found him.
Wherever they may be.
Correct, yeah.
Like, hey, let's see if the dead guy's still down the block.
Yes,
yeah,
correct.
He's been there for a month.
They found him and didn't tell anyone.
Right.
And they just left him wherever they found him.
Correct.
Then went back to his house one night.
Yeah, wherever he was.
Because they got the... I can piece this together. They're sitting together and they're like, we got to go out. We don't have any money. But Bernie's dead. Let's go get Bernie's wallet.
Yeah.
Because he's a well-to-do guy and he'll have debit cards and stuff like that. And then they get off the bus from Hassan Land because they've decided to take the whole body
with them.
Why? Because they need thumbprints or something like that for his credit card?
Maybe he had a sign for something. But listen, isn't there a slight smell problem?
I didn't even want to go there.
No, I do, because I need to know.
I didn't say it's not a valid question. Didn't want to ask that question.
That question is not on my news blurb in front of me.
Well, they had Febreze. They had a whole bunch of Febreze.
Yeah, you know, like those commercials.
Yeah, and they just spritz them.
Yeah.
And
that's the commercial. I didn't know I was next to a dead guy.
Yeah, and they use the worms to go fishing the next day. So it's all perfect. I'm what's wrong with the world.
Yeah. You're the bad guy, not the guy who took the dead
guy. Not the guy who takes the dead body.
But that happened... I would say about a year ago, where these two gentlemen were taking in an old fellow in a wheelchair who was dead.
Yes, I remember that.
To collect his welfare check.
Yes.
And they were rolling him in.
On the chair, yeah.
On the chair, and, you know, and they were getting the check.
It's the ghetto. What's ghetto about the whole thing, okay, and people who are unfamiliar with the term ghetto, it's ghetto. It's not a racial term. It's just it's a financial term. They didn't even take his credit card. They took his debit card.
Yeah.
That's ghetto. It's like the guy doesn't even have a platinum card or anything like that to justify raiding his place of rest and dispiriting his body away.
Yeah.
He's got a debit card. He could be me.
Yeah.
He's got like 50 cents in his account.
See, this in my movie-making mind, this is it. They give him the debit card, and then the waitress or whoever says, okay, put your PIN in now.
Exactly. Because it's a debit card.
Yeah.
Not a credit card.
Credit card.
You genius.
Could you use that as credit, please? What's your zip code? Where's that block we found him?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Where did you find this dead guy from?
They were caught shortly thereafter and been charged with abusing a corpse, identity theft, and criminal impersonation.
Oh. And... murder. They
kill him.
Gentlemen, you may get in the less line, please. Less.
I have a couple of things to say.
Yes, I know. From the desk.
Oh, my God.
You know?
Yeah,
what do
it's
you got
time for a rat's colon.
Okay.
I don't know what that was.
I just have to read this. It's sad news.
You should start off with the
first. Well, you could say that later, but
we'll end with the saying.
Yes, right. And I've saw what you're talking about, and my word is terrible.
Yeah.
All right. So while Charlie is looking for his, he got it. All
okay. Right. Now this is the New York Post, and it's the September 27th
issue.
And New York Post, I'm proving it. The first line killed me. And this is the guy who invented Doritos passed away, and he lived a wonderful life. He was 97.
Almost got that letter.
And, 3 years from the letter. And he passed away, and his name was Arch Clark West. And,
good name.
But the first sentence in the New York Post, not me saying this, is, and I quote, "The man who gave the world Doritos was Frito-Lay to rest."
Wah, wah, wah. And they pay people for this stuff,
kid. Leave it to the Post.
They pay people for stuff like that. I can write stuff like that.
You know, that's everybody else's fault for not, like, storming that place and burning it to the ground.
The next page, next paper says, the New York Post? New York Post is now no longer.
Yeah.
It was Frito-Lay to rest.
Oh, my God. That is...
So, anyway,
I don't even have words for that.
That was it. I just had to say that because
Mention the headliner, man. It's right there.
Ah, yes. And
terrible.
People on high def could see it. Look, the first photos of the new Catwoman and the rest of the paper. I just fell.
Anne Hathaway has been spotted.
Terrible.
The footage has been leaked of her in her quote-unquote Catwoman costume.
Terrible.
That's the general consensus.
You may read that. Look at it.
And they actually compare it to all the other ones of all the other Catwomen out there. They have Michelle Pfeiffer, Halle Berry.
Best.
And
Michelle Pfeiffer was the best for the modern-day comic book scam. Halle Berry, I don't know what that was about. Eartha Kitt. Fantastic. Julie Newmar,
she was
perfect.
Yeah,
I almost got upset because I saw them there and I didn't see Julie Newmar, which was the first, and I read the article and they mentioned her first.
Yeah, because she was...
But they just have a picture of Julie Newmar. How do you not have a picture of Julie Newmar?
They're busy writing class text for other articles instead of finding pictures.
Yeah, instead of doing research.
Where's the picture guy? He's busy diligence. Writing stuff. He's writing something.
Oh, the Post.
Do you know in... in Marlinton, West Virginia, there is the town has an annual roadkill cook-off.
Heck yeah.
Where they feast on the roadkill.
That's why it's Virginia. Yeah.
Virginia.
Virginia.
No offense to all the people listening
to Virginia.
Did
you see that? Them zeets. Give me another squirrel.
Oh, my God.
So on that note, we're going to take our break, Trevor.
Really?
Go.
Can we just
we'll
go home?
Right back with a camping right here.
Hi, this is Amory. You've heard my voice open and close the show. Now we want to hear your voice. If you have a business or product, you can record a commercial here. We offer 30 and 60 second spots. For more information, contact Mark at MFC_studios@hotmail.com. And now, here's some music.
Hot. Now, back to our show.
And we are back with a king from the radio digital.
Welcome back.
Along with Hassan Godwin, Charles
Me.
And the hologram that is Hermes Nurtu.
He's not here. It's not a hologram. I refuse to believe that that's a hologram.
He was here. He was here during the break. There was his coat.
That's my coat.
It never looks so good.
Because I had to steal the chair that doesn't make it sound like I'm pooping.
So this week.
What are we talking about this
week? We're going to be talking about cartoons.
Ugh.
Something that I was thinking about recently when we were talking last week.
Oh, like them. Next subject.
Something I was thinking about last week when we were talking about how Power Rangers has been on for 18 years. And
you talked about how Power Rangers has been on for 18 years.
Yes, it was me, but we as the show was talking about
it. Okay, yeah, all right, fine.
I want to ask my panel, who is with me.
Would that be us?
Yes.
Can we be the... It came from the radio show... With Mark Torres. Shush, I messed up. With Mark Torres and his panel. Can we view that?
His panel.
Can't we at least get a mention that we're in the panel?
We have to
panel?
Get somebody else to come in and do a re-record the opening.
Right. She's one of the inside people. We might be able to do that, right?
Yes.
We can scam her into doing it.
We'll scam her with some free tickets.
Yeah. We'll give her $100,000 and then when she does it, we'll hand her a candy bar. It's $100,000.
I want to ask my panel. Do you think that nowadays, for kids shows, are they really specifically aimed towards kids? Because most shows, at least now I can say, are really directed towards the more, you know,
kids don't watch cartoons. Kids play video
games. Unless they're talking about the really young kids, they have cartoons for those guys. But there really isn't anything like for the teenagers, like when we were growing up.
What age group are we talking about?
I'm going to say when we were kids, so like 10 to 15. Like a five-year chunk. When Hassan and I were kids, they were stuck directly for us. This is for you guys. Parents don't get it because they're lame. And the younger kids don't get it because, you know, they now have story, but it's for us. I don't know about you, Charlie. What stuff, when you were a kid, what cartoons they had for you?
Well, they had Gigantor, Astro Boy, Ape-Man, and, you know, science fiction-wise.
So do you think that stuff was directly aimed towards you, or you just happened to like it?
I'll tell you, I haven't seen a rerun of one of them, but I just happen to like them. I like the idea of, I guess I was a kid, so I liked the idea of Astro Boy being a robot boy, like a little superhero. But I really liked the Ape-Man because he had the powers to change into different, you know, into eight different, you know...
People. Or things.
Or things. And of course, his name was, and as a kid, I thought this was really cool. His name was Tobor the Ape Man. Yeah, because.
Yeah.
So it's like, it took me the third show to figure out that that was robot spelled backwards. You know? And I was so pleased with myself.
I would have figured that out right about now. As soon as someone said it.
Yeah,
I didn't even notice that.
Yeah, I went to Catholic school. I was worried I was going to get hit if I took any of that. Yeah.
But have you seen the cartoons for today, Charlie? You know,
I haven't seen them today, but I cannot see kids that age group watching cartoons anymore because, like Hassan said, I see them playing with video games.
Kids are too sophisticated for those cartoons.
Yeah. I see the kids that are younger watching the cartoons that are maybe supposed to be for, you know.
Yeah, like kids are five or 3 or 5 years old or 6 or something like that. They have cartoons that they watch.
Right.
And I've seen some of them, and they're pretty saccharine, you know. They're pretty despicably cute and whatever. But for the most part, yeah, the cartoons like the new Thundercats and Clone Wars and stuff like that, those are aimed at young adults and people in, actually, at us also. People in our age group who still, you know, kind of hold on to the nostalgia or still like to play with toys and watch television, you know, watch cartoons. So they're kind of upscale, you know, adult light, you know, for people like us not to keep rolling our eyes every time something completely ridiculous happens.
So what do you think happened between then and now? Why is this gap getting bigger and bigger? It can't just be video games. You think that's it? It's just video games?
I think it's an obsession with video games, with all the electronics that are out, that because they are amazing, and kids happen to deal with them very well.
Also, there's no appreciation of art anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, there's no craftsmanship. Like back in the day, everybody from the beginning, everyone's been out to get money. But people used to be willing, yet more. People used to be willing to put in the craftsmanship in order to get the money. Back in the day, we used to pay experts or good, good designers, good world builders, good cartoonists, good writers. We used to pay them exorbitant amounts of money to do what they do, and then they got into the entertainment gig. Now, it doesn't. Your talent doesn't really matter. It's just your tenacity, your capacity to be prolific, your ability to get things and then deadlines. So everything could be kind of assembly lined, streamlined, shoved out the door. You throw it against a wall, see what sticks, and then whatever sticks for a little while is the greatest big hit, and everything else kind of gets thrown by the wayside. There's so much stuff out there; it's all disposable. Mm-hmm. So you never got a chance. It's like back in the day, there was only four or five different companies that make cars. Mm-hmm. Right. So you could I had a Ford, so now I'm going to get a Chevy because I don't like Fords, or whatever. You in your lifetime as an adult had a chance to go through pretty much all the major cars. Now you couldn't possibly test drive all these cars. You got to do all this research. You got to go. You got to look. You got to, it's just there's so much stuff out there, and the quality level has dropped so much because everybody has to keep up with the competition.
And just to get that straight, and I don't know if you'll agree with me on this, that the quality we're talking about is from the age group Mark mentioned, because now as we had it with, not we, but as they came up with the electric company, Sesame Street, there is an amazing, amazing amount of shows for little kids that are unbelievably creative and just very well done in the aspect of teaching these kids something. And my little niece, Danielle, I get caught watching all these movies all night, like Nick, and I sit there and I'm watching them now and I'm saying, wow, that they make a good point here, and it's nice. So let us differentiate that, and
I tend to find some of them terrible, but that's because I'm don't have any kids, so I wouldn't be thinking, I'm not thinking in that head. I'm only thinking in my own head going, oh my god, yeah. Really, are they talking about, like, yeah. I will defer to any adult who is looking after or is a parent of young children who said that those shows have their value. I don't have a dog in that hunt, basically.
I can be objective and say I don't like this, but I can understand why kids do, and it's good for them.
They seem so one-dimensional in comparison to the shows we grew up with. Yeah. I mean, like, Schoolhouse Rock was a major full-on production. There was music, there was rock music, there was involvement, there were good songs written, there were poetry. I mean, people still remember that stuff. You're not going to remember half of this stuff.
They're
not going to be kids growing up and talking about
it. Maybe the kids...
Doubt it, because everything is such short memory. I mean, everything... when we die, everything with us will have died. Because the reason Thundercats is on again, or the reason, even though everybody says they didn't like it, G.I. Joe or Star Wars, it's because we're still marketable audience.
Yeah.
We're still pumping money into the system, however less we might have these days. So once we're gone, those things are going to go with us, because they're not trying to tool these things to appeal to a whole nother generation of us. They're tooling those things to appeal to our generation, and they're not concerned about the future, because they know that they don't really have an audience for it. Everything is immediate gratification now. These video games are 10 times better than any cartoon could be, and you're at the helm,
right.
And
you control your own show.
Yeah, exactly. And nobody really, nobody really is delusional enough to think that, a kid from today is gonna, you give a little girl a My Little Pony, she'll throw it at you. So what the heck is this? I'm sure they still play with toys. I don't, like I said, I don't know much about it, but it just seems to me that it the stuff from our day would be too slow for kids today. It would be too slow and too unsophisticated.
Well, I had to buy a gift recently for a child who was one, and I actually, they have little computers
for, really?
For one and up, 12 months and up, and they're made in such a way that it will, it's geared to.
Yeah, it's a little scary.
Yeah, it is.
It's a little scary. Now, like when I say that our stuff is too slow for them, I still think our stuff is too sophisticated for them, because it is most of the stuff we had was our time was kind of a slow down, pay attention, listen to what's being said, and decipher the information from it.
As you say, bring your brain to.
Yeah. The kids today don't. You can't tell them to slow down. If it's so important for the modern media to be as fast as the attention span of the kids, that to insist that they slow down to digest whatever information you're trying to give them would actually hinder the marketability of whatever you're trying to sell. In which case you'd be vetoed by whatever studio who would not allow you to try to kind of hawk your wares because they feel that they wouldn't get any reception from the people who are paying attention. And thus, I think the quality is in jeopardy, if not is negated altogether.
So if video games is, I guess, the core reason for this, how come there aren't more cartoons about video games? In the old days, at least for Hassan and I, they were. They were bad.
Nobody would watch them. But so adults from today aren't going to watch a cartoon.
Why don't we have Lou Albano dancing around? This is Mario anymore.
Adults from today aren't going to watch a cartoon about a video game. They're just going to play the video game. Kids from today aren't going to watch the cartoon. They're just going to play the video game. They're not going to. And when they watch the cartoon, if the cartoon gets the video game wrong in any or has to compromise in any way, it's not going to work.
So the instant gratification of the video game is such that you don't want to see it anywhere else? I mean, Hollywood does this mistake all the time. They take a franchise, they change everything, they leave the name, and try to have people come to it. So if I'm just thinking out of a corporate business mindset, video games sell well? We should be making tons and tons and tons.
All right, here's the thing.
Of cartoons about video games.
The reason in our day we had so many cartoons was because of the toy market. Toys would come along and they would sponsor a cartoon to be on the air as weekly promotions, weekly 30-minute long commercials for their toys. So that's why we had such rampant cartoons, prolific cartoons when we were coming up, because people were trying to hawk toys at us. Now, they did it in such a clever way, we didn't realize that this was a ploy. This is what I'm talking about. The sophistication of the market is no longer there anymore. The pretense is gone. There was this pretense when we were coming up. Like, it was almost as if, okay, these cartoons are here, and if I really like the stuff, I can run out and buy the toy. We never put together two and two and came up with 10, realizing that the toys came first, and in order to get us hooked on the crack, they gave us free samples, which was on television. The thing is, that system was so perfect that it worked perfectly, because in order to compete with, let's say, G.I. Joe, whatever, your cartoon had to come out and be just as sophisticated, because that was the lay of the land. And G.I. Joe, Hasbro is selling a ton of G.I. Joe action figures because that cartoon is adventurous and it's got legs, it's long lasting, it's consistent. We have, and so is Transformers. Transformers is the number one example of that. We have to be on the same page with that. So you got D.I.C. because I won't say that word. You have D.I.C. You have the GoBots. You have all these other things that just came out, and that we snatched it up. We ate it with a huge spoon because it was just entertainment.
And go ahead.
Now the entertainment, the product, and the entertainment are one thing. The video game is the one thing. They don't need to send you to do a cartoon or a TV show to inspire you to buy the video game. The video game is the cartoon and the toy in one collection.
And as we've seen in movie production, the video game becomes the movie.
Exactly.
You know,
that's the next
and
step.
The video game was first, and it becomes. And I think another factor that we're not weeding into this equation is that back in the day, TV was the babysitter.
Mm-hmm.
Now, video games are the babysitters.
They certainly are.
Because, yeah, because we used to come home, remember, you used to come home for lunch, or you know, if you could get home for lunch, TV went on, mm-hmm. and there was a show there for the kids who came home for lunch. Come home after school, all the after school was Let's Have Fun, Sandy Becker, they were all there showing the cartoons and promoting
right.
the merchandise. They were the babysitters. Saturday morning was a freak show for cartoons. I couldn't wait for September for the new shows to come in. And we kids would actually, when they could go out to play Saturday mornings, would stay in and watch the shows.
Also, like if where I work, they have television set up. They have interactive gaming systems set up. So maybe like on a Friday or at the end of the day or whatever, you'd see about five or six like 40-year-old, 50-year-old men sitting around on a sofa playing video games, going back and forth, sports games or whatever. To understand the way the world has worked today, picture those 5 or 10 guys sitting on that sofa watching a television show, watching the news, or watching a cartoon. It'd be kind of weird. It would be like it was completely counterproductive.
Right.
They'd look like lazy, you know, weirdos who were just sitting around. They could go home. You guys could go home and watch TV. Why would you sit here? But video games is such a phenomenal activity, you know, even though it's not really any more different than a television show, except that you are the one moving the character around. Yeah. But it's just got an enormous power over people of any age. You know, everybody plays video games. It's something that it's no longer specific to one age group, and so that you know they're not gonna they don't really have to do all those crazy marketing machinations in order to get people to sign on for it.
So what was
they just have to make the games better and better and better and better.
What was your draw, Charlie? What was the big thing for you that you had to go out and buy?
Gumby and Pokey. No, just...
go out and buy me now. Okay.
Do All it. Right, buy me too.
Do it. Do it now. Do it.
Yeah. Back into the Speed Racer. All back the cartoons I watched.
Back in your day, you were lucky to get a toy from the cartoon you were watching.
Exactly.
The cartoon was the market.
And, you don't know how much I wanted a Mach...
Mach 5, yeah.
Yeah, now it's running rampant because of the movie. But back in the day, it was hard to get that. And that I loved that car. But also, there were other... not cartoons. It was puppet shows. It was Planet Patrol, Supercar, creative shows. I think
Lancelot the Chimp
Galaxy
one.
Galaxy High.
Lancelot Link. Lancelot Link. That was it. Lancelot.
Yeah,
Link.
That was the one with the chips. But that was a little after my cartoon one. But what I think, if the cartoon companies or the cartoons, which they won't even bother with because they have so many outlets now, because if you talk about Transformers, they do have a video game. They do, you know, so they don't really need gimmicks. Back in the day, there was this cartoon called Coco the Clown, and it was interactive. You had to go out and buy the kit, which was... piece of plastic you put over your TV screen.
Really?
And they would tell you, hey, I need help. Draw this. And you would draw, you follow the lines, and it would be something, you know, they pick up and take. And
it's like Captain Power.
Right. And they would even say, knowing the economic, levels and situations of people, they said, if you can't buy this, put a piece of saran wrap over your, you know, because that's what it probably was.
Yeah.
So, for them to do that now, come out with a remote-type contraption that is set for the radio frequency of your TV to be interactive, that's insane.
Too much work.
Just buy the game.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. That's why you'll never see that. But the Coco the Clown thing was very inventive.
See,
and that was back in the days, early 60s.
See, now that's inventive. I would have never thought of something like that.
Yeah,
you know,
but that's too much. Kids wanted to do that stuff. Kids were active back then. You know, kids didn't watch sit down and watch TV all day. They were outside playing basketball, baseball, and stuff like that. They moved around. They didn't mind. And whenever and watching the TV was an event. Yeah. You know, it was a special activity.
And these shows were and the program directors were genius because they used to put the bulk of them on in the morning before school but right after school.
Right,
they used to hit you with a barrage of them.
I remember because I got bussed out for school, so I would get home at like 5.
And you'd
because everybody, yeah, because I wouldn't get to see it. I would get home in time for the news. That would drive me crazy.
The news.
It would make me crazy.
I don't want to know what's going on in the world.
Yeah,
I don't want to have a He-Man.
Now I come home, and first thing I turn on is the news. Oh, what went wrong?
Yeah.
But, that's, well, they tried to get involved back in our day. We weren't allowing all that technology to interfere with ours. Remember Space Ace?
Yeah.
Remember Dragon's Lair?
Yeah.
You know, those cartoon-like video games.
Yeah.
And those didn't really take off. They didn't do any more of those other than those two. So they didn't get a big following. Then they had Space Ace the cartoon and Dragon's Lair the cartoon, and they lasted maybe about a season. Of course, all those shows only lasted maybe one or two seasons. It wasn't like they made, you know, episodes and episodes for 20 years. But we, you know, today if you had an interest, the graphics still aren't as good as the Space Ace, you know, because it was a cartoon, it was animation,
right.
but they had
hand drawn,
and they had various scenarios where if you press a button it would show you some other aspect of the show, but it wasn't really like you were controlling anything, you weren't making anyone come and go. So if they had graphics like that today and it was a real interactive thing, kids would swallow that. I mean, that would dominate the market. Kids are prepared for that. Kids are ready for that kind of thing. We weren't ready for those things. The arcade games stayed in the arcades. If anybody remembers, there used to be actual places you had to go to play these games.
Couldn't be on your TV.
You know? Yeah, you had Pong on your television.
And this, we're talking even before Atari.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then you had cartoons. You had rampant cartoons. And then you went out to buy the toys. That's how they scammed us. That's how we were in the mix. That's how we fed into that economy of entertainment. The kids today, they get rooked a little bit because the producers, the suppliers don't have to work so hard for the demanders. You know, they used to have to get their message out to us. They used to have to reach us. They used to have to tell us that we're better than this other product. So you got to watch this cartoon. We're better than them. You got to go out and buy this stuff so you can be like these people. You got to get Voltron. You know, you got to get your mom to find these things and put and assemble the robot so you could be one of these guys. They don't have to.
Pieces.
Yeah, they don't. They can put a commercial on. It looks like a movie trailer now. About, you know, Metal Gear, you know, or, you know, 100 or something like that, or Final Fantasy 99. And people will go, oh, I got to go get that. And that's it. That's as much as they have to work.
And coming home, when we did from school, coming home now from school, it's a totally different thing because the first thing that happens is the computer goes on or the phone comes out and there is a network of messaging going crazy. I mean, the equivalent of that for me was coming home in the 70s, and everybody had a CB, and some of us had CB base stations with the antenna on. So now that was our internet, because the minute you had control.
To see who was there.
Yeah, you picked up the thing, and there was always a guy in charge. And if he went to dinner, then he left you in charge. It was some weird thing. And it was...
I'm going to dinner,
right.
Kid. And I forgot, what do we do now? I don't know. I forgot
what he was called, but he was the one that orchestrated
everything.
You know, like, hey, Breaker, this one's trying to get in touch with you. Blah, 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 blah. You know, so what we used to do is we used to go home, and that was the internet for us. That was all talking to everybody without the phone bill, the electric bill on the other end. You know, that. But that was it.
What was your call sign? Did you have a call sign? Do you remember what it was?
My My handle?
Yeah, your handle.
Sorry.
Don't call
terminology. I got that look.
That terminology.
My handle was, get ready for this, Guzzle Gut.
Oh.
I was noted back then to drink mass quantities of beer.
Wow.
So it was.
All right, then.
Guzzle Gut. Well done.
So we got about like 2 minutes left. Hassan, do you have a final thought?
I hope these are my final thoughts.
Will be your final thought if you keep on saying the same final thought.
Only if I die on a Wednesday.
Charlie, you have a final thought?
I see what's going on with kids today. I can't imagine what their kids are going to be doing.
It's just good to know we won't have to worry about it.
And that would be our final thought.
Right? Yeah.
For my final thought, I'd like to say that I think it's very weird how for the past couple of weeks we've been kind of hitting on the same thing, how everything's coming together yet being pulled further apart.
Yes.
It's just so weird. The world is getting closer with all this technology, yet it's pushing us further and further apart into isolation. I just think that's an unusual
thing. Well, if you walk up and down the streets and you see all these people walking out into the streets disconnected because they're staring at their cell phones while they're walking, what is so important that you can't stop and read it and then continue walking? You have to do both at the same time. And I have no compassion for them. If they walk out into the streets, I will not stop them.
And I have a pet peeve. I know sometimes texting is relevant, but there's a lot of times it isn't. And I'll just say to whoever texts me, if they're home texting me, call me, pick up the phone.
No, they don't do that. Nobody wants to talk.
So that about does it for this week.
Does it do it?
Is that it?
Join us next week right here on WGBB. If for any reason you miss any part of the show, I gave it to you. You can go online to www.itcamefromradio.com and listen to our archives, which will be up in a week or so. But if you can't even wait that long because you want that instant gratification, you can go to such places as Podcast Planet and iTunes, and you can listen to us there. Don't forget, next week we'll be giving away two more passes before
the last chance,
you guys. Remember, first caller wins, so make sure you're ready with that phone when we start the announcement, and we will see you next week.
Take it.
You have been listening to It Came From the Radio with Mark Torres. The views and opinions of the host and guests did not necessarily reflect the views of WGBB, the owners, or staff. And now we return you to your earthly scheduled broadcast.